The vast majority of Australian children with mental health problems aren't getting any care. That's the finding of a study by the Murdoch Children's Research Institute. It's a major study, and it found that fewer than one in four children see a health professional in the 18 months after they're identified as having an emotional or behavioural mental health problem. Paediatrician Harriet Hiscock from the Murdoch Children's Research Institute is the lead author of this research. Harriet, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran. Good morning.
Let's start with the study itself. What's the source of the data underpinning your research, Harriet?
Yes, we use the data from the longitudinal study of Australian children, which has been tracking around 5,000 children from kindergarten and a second cohort of 5,000 children from birth. We just focused on the kindergarten cohort, and we followed the children when they were 8 and 9, 10 and 11, and 12 and 13 years of age. And we linked them to their Medicare data use, so we could look at use of mental health services from GPs, psychologists, paediatricians and psychiatrists.
So how many children diagnosed with a mental health problem did you base your study on?
The numbers vary. With this 5,000 children we followed overall, and at any one time there might have been, between 10 and 14% of them who are having mental health problems, either emotional problems or behavioural problems.
So can you define what you talk about in the study when you talk about mental health problems?
Yeah, so this is based on a parent completed measure called the Strengths and Difficulties Questionnaire. It's a widely used measure across the world, and it looks at emotional problems like shyness, anxiety, lowered mood, those sorts of things, as well as behavioural problems, which might be aggression, hyperactivity or oppositional defiant type behaviours.
Okay, and what did you find in terms of which of those sort of presentations are getting referred on to mental health assistance, and who's missing out?
Yes, across the board, most children are missing out. I think that's the key disturbing finding we had, that particularly if the younger children, so the 8 and 9-year-olds, despite having similar levels of mental health problems, were the least likely to get help. And across the board, children with behavioural problems were more likely to get help, probably because they're more obvious if a child is, acting out at home or in the classroom compared to a child who's quiet and withdrawn.
And Harriet, I think a lot of people listening will think, well, why are 8 or 9-year-olds presenting with mental health issues, and what do they look like, and are we sure, and what would treatment look like? Because a lot of people, I think, would be worried about putting an 8-year-old or a 6-year-old into that box, if you like.
Yes, and I agree. I think we talk about them as difficulties rather than disorders, or problems rather than disorders. But the sorts of things as a child, for example, might have recurrent tummy pain or headaches and be starting to refuse to go to school, and that would be more an internalising emotional problem. Or they're continually
There's a whole thing now called school refusal, isn't there?
There is, and that's been forever and a day. I've been a paediatrician for 20 years, so it's
But now we've given it a name?
Well, now I'll give it a name, and children can school refuse because of a number of reasons, but I guess these symptoms and problems have always been there. What does treatment look like for these children? It's often through psychologists and paediatricians with strategies to help them overcome those anxieties or fears, or to learn to regulate their and control their emotions so they're not getting aggressive or defiant. So it's not necessarily at all straight to medication. It's typically the non-medication routes first.
And you mentioned shyness too. I mean, I think a lot of parents, perhaps it's not surprising that a lot of parents aren't referring, fill in the questionnaire but don't refer their children for some kind of external support, because if you've got a shy kid, would you necessarily think that's an issue?
Yeah, and you wouldn't, Fran. These are the children who, in addition to their shyness, are finding it, maybe they're term 2 or 3 of school and they're still having problems separating from their parent and fronting up to a full school day, because we know that sort of inhibited shyness temperament as early as preschool tracks to later anxiety for some children.
Right. And the importance of this is that if it's diagnosed earlier, it can be dealt with early and dealt
Absolutely.
With permanently. And if it's not, tell us about what happens if the children aren't being referred to some support.
Well, we know left untreated, these sorts of problems, in around half of children will resolve by themselves, but in the other half they won't. And they'll go on to become a mental health, you know, disorder in that child, maybe later on in primary school or into adolescence or even adulthood. So it's a 50-50 chance, I guess, if you don't go and do something about it. And it may be as simple as a 2 or 3 sessions with a psychologist. It may not be multiple sessions that are needed.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Professor Harriet Hiscock joins us. She's a consultant paediatrician and lead researcher with this report from the Murdoch Children's Research Institute. One of the findings that struck me from your research was, yes, the number of children who aren't being offered the help that would help them, probably, but also that more boys than girls are likely to get treatments. How do you explain that?
How do we understand that? Well, our hypotheses are that certainly we know more girls have the more internalizing anxiety type difficulties, and so they tend to fly under the radar. And they may fly under the radar for parents as well as for the teachers, who are often the first to pick up these issues in the school setting, whereas boys tend to have more of the behavioural problems, so they are
acting up
in the classroom. Exactly, and that's easier to pick up.
And is there a sense that with girls too, we kind of... We stereotype them. Oh, they're emotional teenage girls.
Absolutely. There's a lot of that. We've done some other work showing that, pleasingly, as they get into later adolescence, girls are more likely to start to pick up on that help. And boys at that age, older age, are less likely. And it might be that girls are more open about their feelings, open to discussing these things, because this is a hard thing for an adolescent to do, to go and front up to a stranger, even if they are a health professional, and start talking about how they're feeling. So as girls get a bit older, they do get more help than their boys. Their counterpart, boys.
Harriet Hiscock, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Professor Harriet Hiscock, she's a consultant paediatrician and researcher with the Murdoch Children's Research Institute that has just published this study. It found that fewer girls than boys are referred for care. Also, families from non-English speaking backgrounds are unlikely to receive help, and younger children less likely to access services too than older children. And if you want to hear more about that, head to the website of the Murdoch Children's Research Institute.